Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologist RN. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Elmetson.
And today, we're doing something different. We have heard you, psychos. We love you, psychos. We are going to go back and do a rewatch, a re-episode, a re-pod of Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark, because we did not have Tim for that. And you all have requested it, and we listen because we love you. And we also love this episode. This was very fun to redo. So any suggestions, any notes, anything you have for us, any feedback, we listen and we love it and keep sending it. And please enjoy this rewatch of the rewatch. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Maggie.
Tim, this is a very exciting day.
Maggie, why is it so exciting? First of all, I got to say, you look amazing. You were a little late today. You were worth the wait.
Thank you. I have a new little setup for my pods, and I'm going to even make it better. But this is my first pod in my new spot, renovated office. What am I saying? Reorganized. I have rearranged some furniture. And
you rejiggered?
Yes, there. And I love this background, so I just made it happen. I was tired of looking at the other background. Actually, hang on. That's a little better. See, I'm still making my adjustments.
Hey,
we don't want to see that. There you go.
Am I wrong, or is that lampshade a soft blush Pepto Pink?
It's actually white, but the lamp itself is a soft blush Pepto Pink.
So we're already starting the podcast by drink up, folks. It's
Pepto. Drink up, everybody. Yeah, hang on. Oh, wait. These are those are what I take my professional notes in. Hang on there. I like them in the shot. Anyway, so it's my cute little cozy spot now. Thank you for noticing. And I also have some new glasses.
Which I love. I can't tell you how much I love it. First thing I said.
I lost my other cat eyes. And I think it may be on purpose because I might actually like these more.
These, I think, are my favorites.
Yeah, these I love. These I love. These are some Gucci.
First thing I said I got the visual, the video visual for our Zooming today.
Yeah.
I love those glasses. Hard. Those are.
It's hard love for these glasses. That's what you're saying.
The cat eye is spot on, 10 out of 10.
Thanks, Tim. 10 out of 10.
And I'm double merching today.
You are. Let's talk about it.
I got my new psychology to just this morning open the box.
Oh my God, I love it. I got mine. I have a Pepto Pink black hat too. I really love the touring the shit out of it shirt.
First time wearing it for the podcast. Inaugural, because we haven't inaugural.
Oh no, I've heard it both ways. We need to make a little announcement. We have a couple things. First thing is, we heard you, psychos. We heard you, and you wanted a redo of this episode because Tim wasn't here. I get it, and it's awesome, and we're doing it. So we're going to do Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark.
Because we listen to you, because we love you.
Yeah. And so that's number one. Number two, we announced it on social media, but we haven't talked about it on the podcast yet. And that is that we are doing a psych con, a standalone psych con in June in the Chicago area. I don't even know where it is. I just know it's near Chicago.
Shamroll, something like that.
Sounds good. Sounds great.
I can look it up exactly right now. Not that it really matters, but just go to the creationentertainment.com website and there'll be all the info for your, your psych fan experience pleasure.
And tickets are selling really fast. So get your tickets, tell your friends, and we'll see you all very soon. We're so excited.
The whole team's going to be there.
And Tim, should we just dive in? Because like, I know what the psychos have been waiting for. And that is to have...
Go ahead.
Well, no, that is to have you here.
Oh, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, for an episode, you're prominent, there's some Lassie. There's a lot of Lassie, and we didn't have you before.
Gallivanting around England at the time when you originally recorded this.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I was actually conventioning it up at the time, but kind of like you and I are doing right now on our touring the shit out of it. Are we halfway done with the tour so far?
No, we've barely begun. We've only done two of what, eight?
Is it just two? No, it feels like we've done four.
No. Well, no, that's not true. We've done three. Sorry. We've done San Francisco, Atlanta, and Seattle.
You're going to make me do math right now? Okay.
And then we're going to do Richmond and Indianapolis back to back. Then we're going to do Oklahoma City. Then we're going to go to
Oklahoma, where the wind comes whipping down the plains.
There it is.
That's all I know of that show tune.
Same.
But we're going to be in Oklahoma City soon.
No, there's a girl who says that there's a song called I'm Just a Girl Who Can't Say No. Yes. That's all I remember. Tim, let's dive in. We know where we're going.
First of all, you look great.
Oh, yes. Thank you. We covered, but thank you. I'll always take a second round of compliments.
You're looking great. My God, did you look great for the Seattle podcast?
Thanks. I like that outfit. I felt like a little Catwoman-y.
It was killer. And you still need to send me those shots of us.
Oh my God, I do. I'll send them today, actually, because I think, I think I'm gonna post some. I think I'm gonna do a little separate post just for that, because I love that outfit. All right, let's go.
All right,
episode 9. Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark, written by Andy Berman, directed by Mel Damsky. So, like, directed the shit out of it.
Season 4. It was so odd in watching. In rewatching the episode for our Psych Rewatch podcast, it was so bizarre to go, wait, what time zone are we in?
I know, but like this was a season 4, so we're going backwards, right? We're doing this episode because it's the only episode you have missed, and you were missed. So let's see here. We already said, so Mel absolutely directed the shit out of it. Andy directed the shit out of it. I love this episode. I think I said this at the time too, but we didn't do a synopsis or anything. So we're going to do a real episode here on Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark.
I'm honored that you've all waited for me and we're circling back.
Yeah, because it's necessary. Okay, pineapple sighting. There's a pineapple. I did not get this even the second time around. That's embarrassing. On the doormat at Sean's apartment.
Which cool. you can't actually, there's no shot of it that you can't see it.
What?
You can't actually see the pineapple. It's not viewable. The way it was shot, it's not viewable.
Interesting. That's a tricky one. That's not a fair one. All right, cold open. It's 1989. Henry coaches young Sean on some survival training skills by shoving him into his trunk and teaching him how to escape. So intense. Okay. When we cut back to Sean tied up and stuffed in the trunk of a moving car, luckily he remembers the lesson Henry taught him as a child and kicks out the rear light of the vehicle. I got claustrophobic just watching this scene. I did the first time around too. Through the hole in the trunk, he's able to spot a sign, then attempts to call Gus for help, but accidentally calls a random fling, Sarah Edmondson, from 3 years ago. She asks if the reason he never called her back was because she had two slices of cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory, but it was actually because she spoke in third person. Yeah, she was on the show, and she was also somebody we like knew. I was friend, like Sarah and I were friends. We had just done like a couple of TV movies together. We had a ball, and so Sarah was around a lot, actually. Sarah has her own podcast now called A Little Bit Culty, because Sarah was the whistleblower on the Nexium sex cult. I don't think that's the name for it, but I mean, it was called Nexium or whatever in Vancouver. And she's the reason that that thing got busted. Yeah, so anyway, we got all that though. Eventually, Sean manages to text Gus cryptic descriptions of what he sees. Back at the storage yard, Gus is puzzled by the messages, and Lassiter finds blood on the ground. That's when they all realize Sean's been shot and kidnapped.
Sorry. The storage yard, this is where I start my professional notes. So even though I'm shot, I'm being filmed from the back, I can tell I'm doing my standard Denzel Washington walk.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard. It's not a super subtle thing because I'm not a super subtle actor, we know. But it's my standard, like, whenever there's a long shot, I try and, you know, it's a little shoulder swing thing. That like.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. It's very Denzel-y.
I was suddenly shocked by the fact that I was buzzing my hair again.
I think it looks good.
Well, that's nice to know that you liked it because I wasn't sure if the jury was still out on the buzzed.
No, I liked it. And I also, it took me back because it felt vintage. And it is. It's season 4. We're in season 6 right now. We learned a lot over the years, you know? Okay, so now cue this theme song. Gus reveals he called Henry as he storms through the scene, insisting on helping find his son.
Very important for our viewers playing the drinking game. I am in, of course, Sapphire Bottle Blue. This is a really light drink. This is a very teetotaling episode. So I would make that one a double, if not a triple, for this Sapphire Bottle Blue shot.
Lots so if it's milk you're drinking, that's gonna get heavy. But yeah.
There's lots of extra Sternbusch in this shot for y'all.
Yeah, maybe that's worth a drink too. Nothing gives me confidence like my favorite playlist, my favorite drink in hand, and going to the gym. A very close second would be my Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet, and yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deodorant has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love feeling confident from head to toe. I love Lumi deodorant. I'm going to say that again. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it. Special offer, new customers get $5 off Lumi starter pack with code pineapple5 at lumideodorant.com. They have whole body deodorant. Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your under boobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet. That's so many parts, y'all. Created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. Clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. How, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, which I hate, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. It's like a pre-odorant. Baking soda free, paraben free, pH balance for safe use below the belt. Choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut. I prefer the unscented. That's just me though. I just love Lumi. It's my favorite. Anyway, Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code pineapple5 at lumideodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit lumideodorant.com and use code pineapple5. Okay. So Henry comes in insisting on helping find his son. So Lassiter and Henry team up to decipher Sean's text back and track him down while Gus and Juliet retrace the steps of Sean's latest investigation. Gus flashes back to a memory.
Which is the, are we up to the highway crash fire yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Gus, yes, but hang on. So, so Gus flashes back to a memory. So now we're getting there, of how the case started, beginning with Lassie bragging about his new car to McNabb, which is very cute. Gus tells Juliet they were working on the ice cream truck accident. Sean apparently noticed a hole in the gas tank and fresh welding marks on the undercarriage of the overturned truck and believed the truck crashed on purpose and wanted to discover why. Back in the hostage car, Sean observes his gunshot wound, finds a wrench, and opens the trunk. That's when the car begins swiveling and Sean jumps out, unfortunately leaving his phone behind.
Swiveling or swerving?
Now we're here. Swiveling, it says. Okay. Devin, I love that I said that. But swivel... what was it? Swerving and swiveling. We've heard Serpentine. It both ways. And this is just Devin keeping us on our toes. Also, swiveling is a great word, actually. I'm going to start using it more. Henry and Lassiter sit in their car attempting to decipher Sean's gibberish text. They also argue about their ages. This is so funny.
Okay, but sit down. I have a series first. This this is the first, this is the series first, the first time that Laster and Henry have really teamed up on a case.
I know. This is like, this was why this was really big. And also Lassiter's like, this is a big Lassie episode. I like that we're doing it again.
Me too.
Henry attempts to read the text out loud, hoping it triggers something. And jackpot, it does. So back at the station, Juliet and Gus walk down another memory lane. Sean and Gus apparently found out who serviced the ice cream truck and spoke to a mechanic at the garage who told them welding is usually used to repair a crack. Well, or to reinforce steel. Yeah.
Sorry, you're about to jump over who that mechanic is. Garth Longmore.
The best.
Our dear friend, my fishing buddy from time to time, our second camera operator, dear Garth Longmore, is
a... love Garth so much.
Michael Rooker.
He used to come on set and go, Garth. Oh, so I love him.
It's too interesting. We say it in text all the time, but... he'll go, hey, Garth! And then when I was out of town a lot, Garth was Lucy's uncle dog sitter.
Because he's the greatest. He's a teddy bear, and we love him, and he's so good at his job. All season. So, okay, used to repair tractor reinforced steel. Oh, but without looking at the truck in question, he can't say for sure why the bottom had fresh welding. Juliet then mentioned she wants to interview the mechanic herself. So as she and Gus arrive at the mechanic shop, they found out the man they're looking for just happened to quit. Back in the woods, Sean runs away from the mechanic, moving in zigzags, just like his father taught him.
He's swiveling. He's swiveling.
He's swiveling and swerving, but mostly swiveling. The mechanic chases after him as Sean hides, checking his bullet wound again. Oh, that broke my heart. Lassiter and Henry have made progress figuring out the clues from Sean's text message. Henry notices the kicked out taillight and remembers the same childhood lesson. He knows Sean got himself out and ran into the woods. It all comes back. Back at the station, Juliet realizes that the guy they were looking for took a dead man's name, so they don't even have a real name for their suspect. Back to Sean. He slams on a gas station door, begging for help, where he then gets hit in the back of the head by a new suspect.
Hold on. I got to say, Garth Longmore shot Sean, that was an attempted murder.
There it is.
And was that worth waiting the 4 months for me to come back?
Absolutely. Okay, this is all it is. I mean, the merch alone. And then to rewatch the Sternbush, he can never have too much Sternbush. Okay.
So the bad guy that clonks Sean on the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
Psych degree of separation. My pal John Hawks, who is just flat out one of my favorite actors. John and I first met on a little show called Deadwood, where he was the yin to Timmy Oliphant's yang. He was sort of the moral compass of Deadwood, if there was a moral compass on that show.
John Hawk is so talented. He is in this season of True Detective. He is amazing. I'm watching it, the Jodie Foster season.
I've heard it's a little snoozy.
It's interesting. It is a little snoozy. I'm not going to lie. It's a little snoozy.
I'll watch it for John.
But watch it for John. I when he showed up too, I was like, oh my God. He is great. And it's worth watching a few episodes. Okay. So Sean slamming on the gas station door. Yeah. He gets hit in the head, regains consciousness as the new guy Rollins and the mechanic McQuarrie are in the middle of an argument. Rollins is berating.
There's a fun moment when Sean first faces Michael Rooker, Garth Longmore. Hey, Garth. And he says, should I call you Mr. Pink? Which is, of course, a lovely reference to Reservoir Dogs.
Yep. Okay. So, that's right. I didn't even think about that. That's why we need you. See, we didn't get any of this the first time around.
I have a fun Reservoir Dogs connection story.
Uh-huh.
So, if you'll all indulge me. What else are you going to do? You came back months later to hear the story. So, Reservoir Dogs came out in 92. I was fresh out of theater school. Hanging out in LA, trying to be an actor. And one of my favorite kind of places to hang was the LA Farmers Market. This is long before the Grove was built there. Like actually the old, like 1920s part of the market, which character actors have been hanging out there since the 20s and was built. So I'm hanging out there one time and having a little lunch, walking into the parking lot. And I stopped by Lawrence Tierney, who was in Reservoir Dogs. He was the lead heavy. He's a great old character actor. His character's name was Lou. Anyway, and I immediately recognized him. He was in his early 70s at the time. So just like a massive guy. I was like, hey, kid, you know if they tow cars around here? I was like, I don't know, buddy. He goes, it's my son-in-law's. He goes, it's my son-in-law's car. If I get it towed, he's going to kick my ass. So I then proceed to help Lawrence Tierney find his son-in-law's car for the next hour. And I recognize him and say, hey, you were great in Reservoir Dogs. He goes, oh, yeah, that was fun. Mr. Pink, Mr. Blue, Mr. Brown. That's a fun show. So I help find his car. And he closes with the line that I will never forget that Lawrence Tierney says to me. So he's grateful I helped him find the car. And he goes, I'd shake your hand, but I just ate a chicken.
I'm going to use that. I don't like shaking hands and all the germs. So I think from now on, I'm going to say that. I'm going to use that line.
I just ate a chicken.
It's good. Love it.
But you guys see, which is a hint to Lawrence Tierney in New York.
I love it. So Sean takes a look around and sees a metal plate and the same weld mark he saw under the ice cream truck. He also sees pictures of McQuarrie in a special ops uniform and realizes that McQuarrie is a crack shot. If he had wanted to kill Sean, he would have. But he has a soft side.
Just prior to him getting shot and almost murdered, Sean is trying to cover by saying, when they're at the storage yard, he says, my app says this was a Starbucks.
Yeah.
He references a caramel macchiato, which is Dulé Hill's standard, at the time was his standard Starbucks.
Loves a caramel macchiato, that Dulé Hill. Yes, he does.
And watching them back, that made me smile and go, oh, it's Dulé's order.
I know. We all knew each other's orders. That was good. In a flashback, we catch Sean. We watch as Sean walks up to the ice cream truck from earlier, getting met at gunpoint by the mechanic. That's when the mechanic shoots Sean, but in a place that wouldn't kill him. Back at the gas station, Sean psychically reads the mechanic and asks why he didn't kill him earlier. That's when the guy tells Sean it's time for him to stop talking. He can't do that. Sean can't stop talking. Okay, back to Henry and Lassiter. They run through the forest.
I think it was his first reference to him having ADD, which was very funny, which yeah. I found that curious because if his whole shtick is about being super attentive to detail, the fact that he has got ADD and Sean Spencer is just that good that he fights his ADD to still be that, have that magical psychic observational power.
Yeah.
Just a little fun story.
So Henry and Lassiter run through the forest and Henry notices a hint. Lassiter claims he's so slow to catch up because he was bit by a tick and has the start of Lyme disease. And that Henry has clearly been juicing. Oh, you too.
Yeah, I love this beginning of this sort of camaraderie of their ages and who's in better shape. Which
it's very cute.
Obviously Henry.
It's very cute. But it's also his son that's gone. Like, you know, he would be in like have his super strength then. But anyway. Okay.
He's juiced with adrenaline.
Exactly. Back at Sean's apartment, which happens to be an old laundromat. This is hilarious. Gus and Juliet find a pamphlet from the garage that'll help them lead to Sean's location. It must have been what Sean was looking at when he broke the case. Juliet also snoops around, noticing that Abigail is unfortunately still in the picture. Even moved her toothbrush in.
Jelly O'Hara was so fun to see you play.
Jelly O'Hara is the best nickname ever, by the way. and it is so fitting. It was just like, that doesn't bother me at all. No, I'm fine. And then I see a toothbrush and I'm like, I don't like it.
The pink makeup mirror.
I don't like it. And the pink makeup mirror. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily. It's as simple as that. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you're like me, you are ready for warmer, sunnier days, but is your skin? See, your skin goes through a big transition between seasons, not just on the surface, but at the cellular level. That's why it's important to nurture from the inside out with products that do more than just protect against the sun's UV rays. OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. This peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells. The cells that make your skin less resilient and more prone to lines and wrinkles. Instead of masking these issues, OneSkin addresses them at the cellular level, boosting your skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and help protect protect against the elements. They have a full line of face and body products, including OS1 Shield and SPF that prevents UV-induced aging and repairs cellular aging all at once. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using code PINEAPPLE when you check out at oneskin.co. I love these products. Lately, people have been actually saying to me, a couple of people, friends have said to me that my skin looks like it's just looks brighter and it's glowing. And I'm like, oh, well, this is the only thing I've done different. So anyway, it's OneSkin. No matter the season, keep your skin looking and feeling healthy with OneSkin. Treating the symptoms rather than the root causes of aging has long been the norm. Most skincare available on the market is designed to provide a temporary reduction in visible signs of aging, addressing just the surface symptoms of an underlying decline in skin health. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code PINEAPPLE at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code PINEAPPLE. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Did you notice what's on the wall of Sean's apartment?
Maybe.
An American Werewolf in London poster.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. As you all know, because you listen to the show, this was the film that really, I think, had the most impact on James. The young James Rodriguez.
Yes. It was.
So that was fun to see somebody paid attention and put that on his wall.
Yeah, I love that. I love that about our show. I feel like we try to bring in everybody's favorite things, like bringing Joey McIntyre on from New Kids on the Block. Anyway, Sean seeing them
go cool.
Yeah, Sean seeing them go convinces McQuarrie to let him call his girlfriend one last time to tell her that he loves her, since this is the end for him. Sean calls Juliet instead of Abigail and hides clues to his whereabouts in the message. He also says, oh, wait, we're going to get there. McQuarrie, thinking that Sean is actually saying goodbye to his girlfriend, tells him to tell Juliet that he loves her and hang up.
Because he thinks he's on the phone with Abigail.
Correct. Sean, or does he?
Pause very quickly. You're so good in this scene.
What do you mean? Being rejected?
No.
You're hearing
that Sean is saying goodbye because you're afraid of... You being afraid of your boyfriend's.
I know. He's not my boyfriend yet in the show.
Oh, see that's why it's so confusing. I have a brain injury.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to go back.
I'm like, no, he's got another girl. This is when he's with Abigail. So he tells Juliet that he loves her and hangs up. Sean reluctantly does this, and Juliet answers saying, Sean, I think that ... Sean silenced her.
He doesn't just say, I love you. He says, I love you, Abigail.
Not yet. He says, goodbye, Abigail. So he says, I love you, Sean. And I say, Sean, I think that. Then Sean silences her before she can say any more by saying, goodbye, Abigail.
And every cycle.
Hanging up. Happens. And then we all throw up, scream, and cry at the same time.
A universal screaming, shaking fists at the sky, screaming, no.
Yes. Juliet is clearly confused. So she then calls Lassiter and Henry and tells them about the clues. Go back and wind chimes for your birthday. Henry realizes that Sean's clues must mean he is being held hostage at the station and the mechanic was lying to them. Henry and Lassiter go back to the station only to discover that Sean is gone and the mechanic is dead on the floor. Along with Gus and Juliet, the two race to catch up with Rollins and Sean en route to the armored truck. This was nuts, the chase, with Sean tied in the back of it. Sean is able to break free. Do you remember this day?
Did
we shot this? Oh, I loved it.
Because that was Langley, I think.
Yeah.
So I was really close down.
And we shut the whole thing down. We shot it on a weekend. We shot it on like a Sunday, I think. And I remember, because I never got to hang out with Rooker, Michael Rooker and John Hawkes, but then on this day, we got to, not Rooker, but John Hawkes. And I remember he would sit outside his trailer and just play the guitar all the time. And I loved it because we were like in the middle of nowhere. And this John, who just like is so authentically John Hawkes, like he's just like,
sorry, the who plays guitar? John will play his guitar or Rooker?
Yeah, John.
Because John is a great musician, as you just
great. Called. And he would sit outside and play. And it was, you know, it was like so quiet. We were in the middle of nowhere. And like he would just be playing the guitar. And it was good. It was a good day. That was good stuff. And this chase was insane. Mel directed to me, like, this is one of the coolest things I feel like we shot on Psych. Like, I just thought it was amazing.
You did say he directed the shit out of this episode. And
he directed the shit out of this episode.
And this sequence proves it.
Love it. Sean is able to break free and jumps onto the hood of Lassiter's new car. Lassiter's not pleased. Rollins grabs his gun and starts firing at the gang, blowing out a tire on Gus's car. Henry passes Lassiter's sidearm to Sean, who shoots out the radiator of Rollins' pickup truck, causing it to slow down and stopping his abductor immediately. Henry grabs Sean, and Lassiter tells Sean, "Nice shooting, detective."
This was a sweet moment that I would like playing.
The best. It was so good. Later, Sean and Gus discuss Sean's conversation with
Of course, Maria. Lassiter denies that he called him detective.
Of course he does. He couldn't have that vulnerable moment with Sean. Not yet. That's what's fun about
of their relationship.
This is what's fun about going back and redoing the old episodes is like what, like now where we are, and then we go back and do one and we're like, oh my God. Like I think of all the stuff that's happened now between like this episode and where we are presently. Anyway, later Sean and Gus discuss Sean's conversation with Juliet while he was held hostage. Sean tells Gus that he thinks that Juliet was about to tell Sean that she loved him back. Gus tells Sean she was probably, playing along, but Sean doesn't seem convinced.
He was doing what?
Exactly.
Because when Sean admits to Gus that he loved her, he said, it sounds like you did what you had to do. And then he comes back and says, Juliet was probably doing what she had to do.
Yeah.
Leaving how we don't know where they're feeling.
And Sean doesn't seem convinced. So that's when he gets a call and hands it to Gus. It's Gina again. Sean tells her we're going for cheesecake. Oh, it's so good. Gina. Poor Gina. What?
Back down to White Rock.
Back down to White Rock. Oh, so good. Okay, fan questions. I don't know if we did these the first time around, but let's just see, because I feel like we would have, but maybe we didn't. And these are good. So, okay. Do you think Jules was actually in love with Sean, or was she caught up in the moment? I think this one's tricky. I think that at this point they have grown to have such a love and respect for each other. I think it's a leap, but like what we do know at this point is that Juliet wanted to take him to dinner in an evening with Mr. Yang. At the end of Mr. Yin Presents, you know, there's our moment, but or at the end of that season, I should say. There's a lot that's been built up. Oh God, I actually can't remember. Have we had that yet? We haven't had that yet. This is Mr. Yin Presents. So at this point, I would say no. I would say she is jealous and has feelings. And I think that when he says, I love you in a moment where he could be dying, I think that she would have absolutely said it back to him. I don't know, out of like a whole like romantic, I'm madly in love with you thing, but out of a like, oh my God, could this be the last time we talk thing? So that's my assessment.
And that all played on your face. That's when I was saying you were so great in this scene, because that all played on your face.
Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome. You're a good actress, Maggie.
Hey, thanks. How are you? This episode is darker than the typical episode. Is it harder to make these types of episodes? Harder? I don't think so. I think that, I mean, yes, emotionally, I think it takes a bit more of a toll.
And this was the first time that you really see the foreshadowing of Lassiter actually being concerned about Sean. And I think it's the first time, maybe the first time, that he actually calls him by his first name rather than Spencer.
Yeah. I think
it was more fun to play because you're like, because we are handed more sort of, like I said, darker material.
When, like, you have to have the dark to balance the light and the light to balance the dark. And I think we really earn the lightness of our show through the dark moments, and we earn the light. Say it,
it's a yin and a yang.
Oh my God. You see what I did there? You see what I did there? So yeah. Is it harder? Sometimes. It's not like, it's just as exciting and fun to like dive into, but it takes its toll a little bit more. You got to recover from those heavier scenes a little bit, but they're worth it. So it all pays off.
Well, so when you're as talented and varied as Maggie and I are, especially Maggie, to get to go back, where they're like, oh, here's a little drama, here's a sprinkle, to go back and forth between the comedy and the drama, is like, to get it in one episode, it's really fun. It's exciting. It's not harder. It's more exciting, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It is exciting. Okay. How do you shoot chase scenes? Oh my goodness. I mean,
be a badass director like Meldamsky.
That's how you shoot chase scenes. You never have to worry. They never feel scary. They're fun. Everybody is taken care of and covered by the stunt crew. The one thing with chase scenes that's kind of funny, insider scoop, is you literally drive the same stretch of highway like 100 times over the course of the day. You just reset and run the same stretch because it's what's like blocked off. Yeah.
By drive, you mean the car being on the back of a flatbed.
Exactly.
Or sometimes towed behind the camera truck.
Exactly. Exactly. So like, that's the only part about chasing. It's kind of funny that I don't think people know. It's literally the same stretch of street.
There's also a fun thing about filming chasings, because you're on the camera truck. It's really hot in the car. You can't have the air conditioning on because it messes with the sound. You can't have the windows down. So the vehicles tend to get really, and there's lights being shined into the vehicle. So you're like in a little greenhouse.
Yeah.
So you get a little schvitzy sometimes. It's not always super fun.
Oh my God, it's so, in fact, you can see in lots of scenes, actually, it's something I notice now in like movies and everything else. Actors are always sweating in cars, especially when it's like you're shooting a scene and you're in like coats and a hat or something. And it's like, you know, the lights come in and you can't run the AC, you can't run anything because, you know, it's going to make a sound, it's going to make sounds that can't be heard.
Jobs are really hard, everybody.
You should feel really sorry for us. You know, you really should. It's hard. It's hard out here to be an actor.
It's a little extra time for Crafty to deliver your Berman's nuts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tim, what was your favorite scene from the episode?
It's got to be getting to the running scene with Henry and our back and forth. And
so funny.
Giving each other a modicum of guff.
And I think selfishly, mine is the phone call.
Well, that's right. The one you, you mean the one you were so good in?
I mean, I just like being, you know, getting that emotional stuff to do, you know? It's fun.
Well, you acted the shit out of something. Awesome.
Thanks. There are lots of things that are going on. And those are all fun to play. Sometimes it's all fun to play. Sometimes you're just reading out case facts, and other times you get to play a whole scene and in a couple of words and your face, and that's a challenge and also very fun. So
really one of the first kind of sides we got to see the emotional depth of O'Hara in this kind of
a little bit, yeah, because this is earlier, right? So like we haven't had Yin yet, we haven't had a lot of those moments yet. Yeah, this is a darker episode.
You and Sean still weren't fully developed yet.
No, not yet. Got Abigail in there. Abigail. That is our beautiful episode and our revisit, which is so fun to do with you, Tim, because we missed you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad we did this. And I'm glad that I didn't ask you the question. But man, I feel like we podcasted the shit out of that.
Oh, we did. We did. We podcasted the shit out of this. I love it.
Thanks for missing me, everybody.
And yeah, thanks for missing Tim. Psychos, I'm just going to throw this out there because we're also looking for ways to A, make the podcast as great as it can be, but also if there's anything, like we actually read your DMs, we see your tweets, we see your comments in Instagram, like anything you all want or anything you guys, and I know you all talk and like whatever, like back channel talking and all that stuff that you want to like bring to us, tell us. And if there's another episode you want us to redo, we'll do it. And because we're already thinking about it, doing that anyway. So, you know.
I think we should do just do a dedicated episode. Just you and I talking about, I mean, our favorite things about each other, which we kind of do anyway. It's, that's sort of like every episode anyway.
That's what we do every episode. So let us know, psychos. And we'll let you know too, fun things we have up our sleeve, because we're going to do this podcast forever. We've decided. We love you, psychos. Thank you for jumping back in time with us to Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark and for suggesting this. This was such a good idea. I love
it. Y'all are smart.
Y'all are smart. Y'all psychos, you know what's up. All right. Bye, Tim.
Bye, Maggie.
Thank you all so much for listening, and thank you for suggesting that we do this, because we had an absolute blast. See you soon, Richmond. See you soon, Indianapolis. See you soon, Chicago, at the PsychCon. Okay, we love you all. Thanks for listening.
This is The Confused Breakfast,
a movie podcast creating a lot of ruckus around the world.
We talk about classic movies the same way that you and your friends talk about them,
with a little bit of film buff knowledge thrown in, because we just can't help ourselves.
If movie quotes are part of your daily vocabulary,
if you like to talk about fun fan theories,
if you've always wanted to punch a movie character in the face,
we're here to podcast for you.
From Back to the Future,
Ghostbusters,
The Shining, and so many more.
Check out The Confused Breakfast wherever you listen to podcasts.